The other process responsible for salinization is dryland salinization, potentially operating in areas where rainfall suffices for agriculture. As long as ground in such areas is still covered with its natural vegetation, the plant's roots take up most of the rain falling. But suppose a farmer clears the natural vegetation and replaces it with crops, which are planted seasonally and then harvested, leaving the ground bare for part of the year. Rain soaking the ground when it is bare percolates down to the deep-lying salt, permitting it to diffuse up to the surface. Unlike irrigation salinization, dryland salinization is difficult, expensive, or essentially impossible to reverse once the natural vegetation has been cleared. One can think of salt mobilized by either irrigation or dryland salinization as like a salty underground river, which in some parts of Australia has salt concentrations 3 times those of the ocean. That underground river flows downhill, just as does an above-ground river, but much more slowly. Eventually, it may seep out into a downhill depression, creating hypersaline ponds that I saw in South Australia. If a farmer on a hilltop causes his land to become salinized, the salt may slowly flow through the ground to the land of farms lying downhill, even if those farms are well managed. Some of the underground river doesn't emerge in downhill depressions, but instead flows down into above-ground rivers, including Australia's largest river system, the Murray-Darling. Salinization inflicts heavy financial losses on the Australian economy in 3 ways. First, it is rendering much farmland, including some of the most valuable land in Australia, less productive or useless. Second, some of the salt is carried into city drinking water supplies. For instance, the Murray-Darling River provides between 40% and 90% of the drinking water of Adelaide. But the river's rising salt levels could eventually make it unsuitable for human consumption or crop irrigation without the added expense of desalination. Even more expensive than either of those two problems are the damages caused by salt corroding infrastructure, including roads, railroads, airfields, bridges, buildings, water pipes, sewers, household and industrial appliances, power and telecommunication lines, and water treatment plants. Overall, it is estimated that only about a third of Australia's economic losses arising from salinization are the direct costs to Australian agriculture. The losses to Australia's water supplies and infrastructure cost twice as much. As for the extent of salinization, it already affects about 9% of all cleared land in Australia, and that percentage is projected under present trends to rise to about 25%. Salinization is currently especially serious in the states of Western Australia and South Australia. The former state's wheat belt is considered one of the worst examples of dryland salinization in the world. The proportion of the wheat belt sterilized by salinization is expected to reach 1/3 within the next 2 decades. Underground rivers flow very slowly, such that once one has mobilized salt through bad land management, it may take 500 years to flush that mobilized salt out of the ground, even if one switches overnight to drip irrigation and stops mobilizing further salt.